This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The unemployment rate just soared, but I'm sorry to say that's not the half of it. Good morning. I'm David Brancaccio. The news today is that after almost 9.5 years of American payrolls growing month over month, there was a sickening drop in March. The unemployment rate at an all-time low in February has now risen to 4.4%. Payrolls dropped by more than 700,000 people. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman with the latest.
The Bureau of Labor Statistics did its regular monthly surveys of employers and households in the second week of March, before 10 million Americans filed for unemployment benefits as school and business closures spread. So both total job losses across the economy and the unemployment rate are already much higher than this report shows. Still, today's numbers are grim. The economy has only ever lost more jobs in a month after World War II and at the worst point of the Great Recession. And both the number of workers bumped down to part-time and workers who've left the labor force entirely soared. The Bureau of Labor Statistics cites numerous reasons its accounting is likely off because of the pandemic. Fewer households and businesses responded to surveys than usual, and survey takers were working remotely. And workers on furlough might be counted as still employed. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Now to Christopher Lowe, chief economist at what's now called FHN Financial. This report was dire, Chris, even knowing the data, as we just said, is more than 3 weeks old.
It is. It's on a par with the worst months in the worst quarters of the global financial crisis, the Great Recession, when we did see job losses that topped 800,000, but 700,000 is certainly on a par with that. The thing is, this survey was conducted before any government mandated job closures. And so since then, we've seen 10 million unemployed file for unemployment benefits. This is after the job survey in March. We know that there are also workers unemployed who don't qualify for jobless claims. We're going to see a drop in employment in April that is more than 10 times bigger than the drop in March, which again is on a par with the biggest job declines in U.S. history.
Economist Christopher Lowe. Stock market is little changed at the moment. The Dow is down 16 points. The S&P 500 is up 2 points. Crude oil is up 29% in the last day and a half, with OPEC meeting on possibly cutting some production on Monday. There's been a price war with Russia and Saudi Arabia reluctant to cut, even as the virus has caused demand for the stuff to plummet.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
On top of everything else, this is a year the U.S. Constitution demands we conduct the census. With COVID-19, census field operations have been suspended until at least mid-month. While April has typically been the red-letter month for census taking, the count isn't really due till the year end. In other countries, from ancient times, the census has often had to do with drafting military or taxing people, but not here. Andrew Whitby is author of The Sum of the People, How the Census Has Shaped Nations from the Ancient World to the Modern Age. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So the census really has its origins in taxation, really, right?
Yeah, I mean, taxation in a broad sense. So either taxation of people's output, so, in money terms, or maybe in what they produced, or taxation of people's labor, so conscription. And that's talking about the census as it was in the ancient world.
Now, we should point out that here in the United States, the census is supposed to help with allocation of money raised and representation, but we do have other ways to find out who to tax here.
Yeah, exactly. So the census, sort of when it was reintroduced as such into the modern world, so in the United States, for instance, in 1790, it was kind of separated from those earlier extractive ideas of taxation and conscription, and it became something much more about giving to people, empowering people, or as it is today, about allocating resources.
Now, April 2020, here we are, the designated census month in the U.S. It was set up to be the biggest mobilization in peacetime history to get the army of folks necessary to do the count. Yet, right, people are sheltering in place. Parts of the country are on coronavirus lockdown.
Yeah, it's an unprecedented challenge, I think, in certainly in 20th and 21st century history. So already the Census Bureau has announced that they're delaying the field work that should be happening right now. That itself is not a massive impact. The field work that would be taking place now is really just collecting information from a small number of households that wouldn't receive the invitation by mail like you will have to self-respond to reply online or to reply by phone or mail. Where it will become a problem is when that delay continues. And I mean, at this point, I think it would be optimistic to assume that things will just resume as they would have done. And so for everybody who doesn't self-respond, and that was about, I think, 50 million households in 2010, the Census Bureau has to go around and start knocking on doors and collecting that information face-to-face. And face-to-face is not a term that I think inspires a lot of confidence in the current moment.
Is there a clear sense of how the census would proceed, or are they reviewing contingency plans here?
I think probably what they're doing right now is they've instituted this kind of 2-week delay, and they're going to use this time, like everybody else, to give themselves a bit of a chance to think, well, what do we do after that? But I think, like everybody else, it depends an awful lot on what's going on in the external world.
Andrew Whitby is an economist, data scientist, and author of the book, The Sum of the People, How the Census Has Shaped Nations from the Ancient World to the Modern Age. Thank you very much for this.
Thanks for having me.
And especially now, the economy that may matter most to you is your economy. We want to hear your stories about how you're managing your resources during this bizarre time. Tell us your story at marketplace.org/myeconomy. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.